It's often said that there's no such thing as a free lunch, but in New York City, there's actually a surprising smorgasbord of free food available, if you're willing to dig for it. Cindy Rosen and Janet Kalish are both Freegans, a movement focused around sharing resources, minimizing the impacts from consumption, and recovering waste that is perfectly good. They're also organizers of the group Freegan.info, and I'm very pleased to welcome them to our show today. Hello.
Hi, hello. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Janet, what did you know about freeganism before you became one?
I knew that people were rescuing food from the trash and eating it. I didn't know a lot about it before I became one.
Would you call it a philosophy?
Yes, I learned that it's much more than just rescuing food from the trash.
And are there certain philosophy. General rules?
No, not exactly rules. It's a movement and a philosophy and an active practice of trying to consume as little as possible.
Cindy, lots of people associate freeganism just with dumpster diving, but does it extend to other things?
Absolutely. It's a common misconception that freeganism equals dumpster diving. And freeganism is really a practice, a philosophy of basically finding any strategies to live outside the economic system, to live outside of capitalism. So some freegans may not even dumpster dive. If you're somewhere where you can grow all your own food or forage all your own food, then dumpster diving isn't even a part of freeganism.
But some people grow food in empty lots.
Yeah, absolutely. Community gardens, wild foraging, all these things could be considered freeganism.
What about furniture? Do you, either of you, pick up stuff and repair them, refurbish them?
Yeah, and unfortunately, a lot of the furniture doesn't even need any kind of repair. It's all just in great condition. People update because that's the mentality, to keep on modernizing and keep on keeping up. So we find perfectly good furniture and other things, clothes and books and music and food.
How did you become a freegan, Janet?
I had heard about it through some emails that I was receiving from a group called Wetlands Activism Collective that Cindy was already a part of. And I saw that there was a meeting that finally I was able to attend.
And Cindy, you were already there, but how did you wind up becoming a freegan?
I actually worked with
the group. Do you like that name, freegan?
Yeah, absolutely. I am a proud freegan. I worked with the organization Janet mentioned, the Wetlands Activism Collective, and we were doing lots of anti-corporate campaigning, boycotting this, boycotting that, and you start to realize that it's not just one company or another that needs boycotting, it's the entire system. So that combined with the fact that many of us were already getting our food for free from the trash led to the very first trash tour and led to the birth of freegan.info.
And I throw this out to both of you. What was your first experience dumpster diving? Was there a psychological barrier that you had to get past to do it?
I think part of what we address as a group, and I know what got me into it, is making it into a social outing. So what we would do is after working at the end of the night, we'd go to the local bakery and find out what they had and gorge ourselves on cake. Now, that's not a practical way for feeding yourself out of the trash, but it makes it a social outing. It gets over the stigma of going through the trash, and it makes it a lot easier to introduce people to it. And that's what our trash tours do.
Some pretty respectable people have done it in the past. Did you know that Ruth Reichel has talked about dumpster diving when she lived in Berkeley in the 1970s?
No, I didn't.
So what happened with you? Did you just jump right in, so to speak?
Well, it's definitely a great introduction to join a trash tour, and that's how I did start, by being shown by other freegans, and it made it a lot easier. I think there definitely is a stigma and an awkward feeling about going out and doing this alone, and a lot of people join our trash tours and come with us but rarely do it alone because there is an awkward feeling about going out and stooping down and opening trash and wondering what other people are thinking.
Well, there's that feeling that something that's in a waste bin is untouchable. But you sound like you're surprised by the kinds of things that people do throw away.
It's really unfortunate, I think, that your previous guest mentioned. It's hard to be surprised anymore. At first, when you start looking at retail waste. You say, why did they throw this out? Why did they throw this out? And you try and come up with reasons. And then eventually you get to the point of just saying, they threw it out because that's how our economy is based. It's based on waste and profit, and it doesn't matter that it still has a usable life.
Do you both remember the most delicious things that you found?
We find a lot of delicious things, and if it's not delicious, we don't eat it. We don't have to really be that picky.
How do you know something that's thrown away? If it doesn't have a mold on it, does that mean that it's safe?
Well, not necessarily. But even when it's on sale and on the shelf, the same question can be asked. There is some question about food safety for all of us, and there's always issues about food safety. But we get that food on the curb in a bag 20 minutes after it's been put out from the shelf. And so it's about the same. And we are careful, and we take it home and see what the packaging looks like. But we all are really animals built with certain sensors to know if something smells bad or tastes bad or looks bad.
Do you prefer to do something that you will then cook rather than something that you just eat right out of the garbage?
I think everybody has different levels of comfort, and we certainly address that. But it's really true that our food system isn't safe and it isn't clean. So the fact that we're taking it after it's been discarded doesn't make it any more safe or less safe.
A listener wonders the degree in which freeganism is related to veganism. I'm assuming that there are freegan vegans, but also freegan meat eaters.
Absolutely.
Yes. Cindy and I are both vegan, but there are a lot of people who join us who are freegan and not vegan. And it would be more dangerous health-wise to take meat, but definitely by cooking it, it makes it much safer.
Where do you go? You said that you get the food just right after it's been put outside. Are we talking about supermarkets or fancy restaurants?
The sad part is if there's a place that sells food inside, it's a place that discards usable food outside. So what we're primarily going to is grocery stores, small upscale grocery stores especially, bakeries, anything like this. And the sad truth is the higher the economic scale of the store, the more that goes to waste, because the higher the expectation is for pristine, the more likely there is to be extremely overpackaged, prepared foods that go bad a lot quicker than whole vegetables, whole fruits.
So that means you go to Park Avenue?
Well, we go to nice neighborhoods that have nice stores. They're usually on an avenue.
Should you ask for permission?
There's an interesting – it's New York is an interesting place for dumpster divers, and it's why we can do what we do so very publicly and talk on the media and things like that.
And people people notice you're doing it, I assume.
Oh, yes. I mean, our tours can have as many as 35 people, so we're quite a spectacle. But because in New York all of our trash is pretty much put curbside in bags, it is public property and it's perfectly legal and acceptable and okay to go through it. So we don't generally ask for permission.
My guess is Cindy Rosen and Janet Kalish, both freegans. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopez. You mentioned that it's legal because the Supreme Court actually decided in 1988 in California versus Greenwood that when a person throws something out, that item is now in the public domain.
We like to joke with our trash tours because it's one of the first questions people ask is about legality, is that case, which, as I understand, was brought by law enforcement agencies wanting to check up on us through our trash, is what makes it legal for us to go through the trash.
So they were just simply finding out whether, like the Dylanologist, who he was talking to, and that was totally legal? And now you can...
And now that's the reason that we can go to a bag that's on public property and open it and go through it without fear of legal reprisal.
But do you ever have to fight with security guards or others?
Rarely. Mostly what they are concerned about, the people who work in the store, is that they don't get fined for a mess. And so we have a sort of etiquette that we ask people not to rip into the bags, but we untie them at the knots and we tie them up and make it clean. And what we're doing is not just trying to enable people to get free food, but to try to make a point about how much tremendous waste there is in our system.
You are members of a group. Did you have a group meal last night?
Yes.
What did you serve?
So our group is freegan.info, and we have a monthly freegan feast. So we gather for a tour, a trash tour on one night, take all the food that we can use, and then gather the next night to prepare it and cook it and serve it. And
are those the only nights that you eat as freegans, or are you practicing freegans even when you're not on the tour?
Oh, I think we're both practicing freegans pretty much every day. This is, like our trash tours, a
you look healthy
introduction.
Thank you.
It's an introduction for new people to, you know, make that connection between the food we find in the bags and a perfectly healthy, balanced, healthy meal.
What age range are we talking about? I know Jeanette Walls talked about when she, in her book, she was in a camp and she noticed her mother was dumpster diving, but that was out of necessity. Her mother would have starved otherwise.
Yes. I ironically found Jeanette Walls' book in the garbage, and I turned to page one and I saw the first reference in the first paragraph to dumpster diving, and I said, wow, I have to read this book. It was a fantastic book. Yes, yeah, so it's true that many people do dumpster dive out of need, but we all need to eat. We all need nutrition, and so we're taking away the stigma. We're doing our best to take away the stigma in eating perfectly good food and salvaging what should not be in the trash.
I guess what I was asking here is, there a big difference between somebody who does it out of necessity and doesn't think I'm a freak and just thinks I'm hungry, and people who actually join a movement?
I think that people come to freeganism for all reasons, and then lots of people come to dumpster diving for all reasons, and some of those reasons are the same and different. We don't check up on the economic background of people who come to us. So out of the people we host, I would say some people absolutely need that source of food for nutrition, and some people are very comfortable and very privileged and are doing it because they don't want to see food go to waste, and we welcome all of it.
Don't you also operate workshops?
We have skill shares, and we have film nights and discussions. And
so this requires training to do correctly?
I think people don't need any kind of formal education to be a freegan or to facilitate a discussion and to try to do their best in their own influence to help the planet.
And if they want to find out more information, I assume they just go to the internet and type in freegan.info?
Yes, our website's freegan.info.
Are there any capital letters in that?
No. And we have a calendar of events for New York City, as well as a dumpster directory that covers New York and a lot of other areas.
Any competition for the best dumpsters?
We try not to be competitive, but cooperative. And sometimes it's true that there'll be somebody already at a dumpster or at a trash heap when we get there, and we're respectful of each other, and we ask if there's anything to share, or we might just pass them by and come back later. So we're not there's absolutely no need for competition, because unfortunately the quantity of food and other material being thrown out is overwhelming.
But this is pretty much done at night, isn't it?
Normally, yes.
Because it's when supermarkets and restaurants close.
In New York City, it's different than the rest of the world, but in New York City, where the trash is put out right on the corner on the sidewalk, yes, it's done at night because that's when they put it out and that's when the trucks come and pick it up.
Have you spoken to freegans elsewhere? Does New York have the best trash?
I don't know about the best trash. It has the most easily accessible trash of anywhere that I've spoken to people who do this, because in a suburb, you're going to find a dumpster in a private lot, which makes it a little bit more adventurous, a little bit more sneaky to recover that waste, although it's still certainly possible.
Cindy Rosen and Janet Kalish are organizers of the group freegan.info, and I thank you both so much for being on our show.
It was fun. Thank you.